Blessed Sunday, everyone. Happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. Yes, and to our Mandarin congregation, 父亲节快乐. 说得对吗? 差不多啊. Okay, happy Father's Day. And I was just watching. They're so cute, right? They just tell the truth. They can't help but to tell the truth, right, children? Mama's instant noodles, who said that? And Norman, chips and chocolate. Wow, that's a double whammy. And Sophie, you mentioned that your dad likes scrolling on the phone. Yep, that's his favorite pastime. Do you know why is that happening? Because I was messaging him. So just forgive him for that, okay? All right. Dave, you owe me one there. So it's Father's Day. And you know, very often when we hear of Father's Day and Mother's Day, we will say that it's one of those days that we just made it so commercial, right? So commercialized, right? That it's just a day for the retailers to be able to make some money, to be able to find a reason for you to buy gifts and all that. But I think, right, that, you know, sometimes it's good for us to actually have Father's Day and Mother's Day because quite often we take our fathers and our mothers for granted. And sometimes it's good to have just one designated day where we will actually sit down and we will reflect and we'll take that day to express our thanks and our gratitude to our fathers and our mothers. And that's the very reason why we also celebrate Easter and Good Friday and Christmas, because sometimes we go through the routines of life and we tend to forget and we tend to actually lose the significance of it. So today, for all the children, or all the wives, would you honor your dads, honor your fathers, honor your husbands? It's not easy being a father, right? And all the fathers say? It's easy being a father, huh? Yeah, okay. All right, so shall we open this time with a word of prayer? Come. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you. Even as we celebrate Father's Day today, Lord, we remember you. We remember your love for us. We remember, Lord, that we can love because you first loved us. And we are so thankful that we can be here this morning to celebrate together as a family, as a large family here, to honor all the men in our midst, O Lord. And so, Lord, we pray that even as we share, as we just listen to your word this morning, Lord, that you will just fill our hearts with your love. Open our eyes that we may see just how big your heart is for us. Let us know how deep is your love for us this morning. We give you this time right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, this morning, I'd like to share with you an exhortation. It's not so much of a sermon per se, it's an exhortation. And this exhortation is something that I have personally received from God himself. You know, so it's an exhortation that God has given to me, which I would like to share with you right now. And this exhortation came as a result of my reflection, a reflection of my journey as a parent, or more so actually recently as a foster parent. Now, some of you would know that my wife and I, we are actually caring for a child right now, a young child. And you know, when I was thinking about it, it felt like it was God who gave us, or gave me, another chance, another go at parenthood. You know, to parent a young child again. And it was this opportunity to parent a young child, but it comes with this benefit of hindsight and experience. You know, after quite a few years, having two older children right now, I by right should have a bit of experience with parenting. And God says, here you have another go and another chance in parenting a young one. So I had the joy of reliving the day-to-day operations, you call it, of caring for a young child. Like buying nappies, pushing strollers, planning around nap times, something that, quite frankly, I thought I was well done and dusted. But more than these,
having the opportunity to parent a young child again has also given me the opportunity or the chance to reflect. To reflect on how has my parenting approach changed over the years, to reflect on the maturity of my character, to reflect on my faith walk in Christ, to reflect on my role as a parent, as a father. And I would say that not only as a parent or as a father, but also as a husband and as a pastor. And I thought, you know, that by now, for example, I should have been more mellow by now, but apparently not quite yet. There's still quite a bit of fire in there. And also, I realized that there were many things that I should have done. I could have done better when I was a parent in my younger years. And I wish that I could turn back the clock as well. So even as I preach this year on walking in the Spirit, I want you to know that I'm also preaching to myself. And I'm also working on listening and submitting to the Holy Spirit in every area of my lives, including the areas of patience and in being a godly father, being a godly husband. But frankly, when I was first presented with this opportunity to parent a young child, I was initially quite reluctant. In fact, I would say I was quite resistant to it. Because you see, at this point in time, my hands are already pretty full. And I cannot see myself taking on another huge responsibility at this juncture. But eventually, I agreed to take on this responsibility, but maybe only for a short period, just 3 weeks to 4 weeks or so, thereabout. But after a couple of weeks into this new and temporary season of foster parenting, it became apparent to me that this child has a deep need for a sense of security, stability, and self-confidence. And having a safe and a stable home environment, having a set of parents where she's able to call as daddy and mommy, having older siblings who will care for her, who talk to her, who eat with her, prays with her, tucks her into bed, all of these simple acts of just being present for her has helped to bring some healing and restoration back into her life. It helped to nurture some health back into her. And then God spoke to me and He impressed two things on my heart. The first thing was the persisting and pervading effects of the problem of fatherlessness, what we would also call as being orphan spirit or orphan heart. Fatherlessness that is caused not only by the physical absence of a father, but also by a father who may be physically present, but emotionally and spiritually absent. And the second thing that God spoke to me on was a verse that He reminded me of in James chapter 1, verse 27, where He says that pure and genuine religion, pure and genuine faith, or pure and genuine worship in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and for widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. So caring for orphans and widows in their distress. Now, as Pastor Stewart has preached last week, when God presents us with an opportunity to do His work, it does not necessarily come in a package of just ribbons and sweet-smelling flowers. Very often, the package will come with ribbons, with flowers, plus a lot of hard work and challenges as well. But as Pastor Stewart has mentioned also, that if we focus only on the challenges, chances are we will miss the opportunity that God is giving us and wants to give us so that He can reveal Christ, His special grace, and His glory to us and through us. And so with these two words that God has given to me and my wife, we then decided to press on with this chapter, this journey of parenting this child as foster parents. Now, as I reflected on the last few months of our fostering journey, in fact, I would say I reflected on my whole parenting journey thus far. There was one Bible verse that was sitting and resonating, impressed on my heart. And that's from 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. And it says, "We love because He, God, first loved us." Now, the original Greek word that was used for the words here, love and loved, is agapao. And it is a verb form or an action word for the other Greek word that we may be familiar with for love. The other Greek word is agape. This agape love is a type of love that is sacrificial and unconditional. It is sacrificial because just as how God loved the world so much that He offered His only Son to become the sacrificial lamb, the atoning sacrifice for us sinners. It is unconditional because regardless of whether we were deemed to be deserving of such love, as how the Apostle Paul puts it in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, that it was while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He gave His life for us. Unconditional. Now, this agape love is also described in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 by Paul as a love that is patient. It is kind. It is not envious. It's not easily irritated, not resentful. It is a love that bears all things and endures all things. So, we are to love in the same way that God loves us, with the same love that we have received from God. And this agape love that we are called to demonstrate, that we are called to give, can only be done through the empowerment of God. It's not something that we can humanly give or sustain over time. We can only love to the extent that we have been loved. I should say it this way. We can only love to the extent that we realize how much we have been loved by God. So, as Christians, we are able to love, and we should love, with an agape love. Because God continues to give us, and He has given us, and He continues to give us, this agape love. Now, being a foster parent is pretty challenging, to say the least. For my family and I, we now have to make adjustments to our personal routines, our plans, our schedules, our preferences. We have to sacrifice and carve out time from what we would have spent on ourselves to now invest into the life of another. We have to accept and assimilate her, this child, into our family. We have to love her and nurture her without any difference or any distinction from our own children. We have to share with her, model to her what the love of God looks like, and impart our faith in God to her as well. And yet, we are fully aware that the time that we have with her is very short and it's very limited. We don't know how she will grow up to be in the next segment of her life. We don't even know if she will remember us at all when she's older. But it requires us to love the child sacrificially, unconditionally, patiently, generously, in the same way that God the Father loves us. And we as parents, we can only do so effectively and consistently if we have the inflow of God's love in our lives, a continuous inflow of His love in our lives. We love because He first loved us. Now, while I'm on this topic of fatherlessness, I would like to share with us a few symptoms of fatherlessness, which some of us might recognize, but we may not realize that it is actually due to the problem or the condition of fatherlessness. I have adapted the following from a summary from a podcast that I listened to recently by Lee and Cindy Whitman. Lee and Cindy Whitman are the executive directors of an international healing ministry called Restoring the Foundations. So I've adapted it from there. Some of the symptoms of fatherlessness. Firstly, we live a life of fear and insecurity. We are fearful of what others think about us. We are fearful about opening our hearts to receiving love and even the love of God. We are fearful of giving and showing love, God's love, to others. Another symptom of fatherlessness is that we often focus on the faults and the failures that we have seen or that we have experienced in our own parents. We may feel rejected by them, but that may very well be only a perception and it may not be real. Consequently, we start to build up walls around ourselves to protect ourselves from getting hurt. Another symptom of fatherlessness is that we tend to control and manipulate our relationships to protect ourselves and to get what we want. We struggle with authenticity in our relationships. We stay superficial. We're happy to talk about others, but not about ourselves. Another symptom of fatherlessness is that we crave after sensual things that will satisfy our flesh. Things like material possessions, chasing always after wealth or material possessions, or drugs, alcohol, sex, pornography. We also crave for attention, for the validation of men, the approval of men. Another symptom is that we are driven by performance and by power. I need to prove my worth. I need to validate myself. I need to control my life and I need to have control over my destiny. We take on a self-reliant type of mindset and we may even become defensive. We say things like, that's just the way I am. Or we say things like, I'm better off myself. Or we say things like, no one else will look out for me, not even God. I better look after myself. A self-reliant mindset. And consequently, we start to live as spiritual orphans as well. Because then we will start to struggle seeing God as being loving and gracious and merciful. We struggle to receive God as our good Heavenly Father, who is fully and intimately present with us, His children. Now, I wonder how many of us here would find some of these familiar. The truth is, all of us, to some extent, struggle with this issue of fatherlessness. Because, you see, this issue or this condition of fatherlessness started way back in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve sinned by eating the forbidden fruit. Adam and Eve, the first parents of humankind, they were originally created by God in perfection. They were in perfect fellowship with God, and they experienced the fullness of God's love. When they doubted the love of God, and they decided to strike it out on their own by eating the forbidden fruit, they effectively chose to be independent of God. They chose to carve out their own lives, and so they rebelled against God. They disobeyed Him. From then on, Adam and Eve and the rest of humankind became estranged and separated from God, our Heavenly Father. And so this problem of fatherlessness, the orphan heart, is perpetuated. It's passed down from generation to generation. But I want you to know that there is good news. Can you turn to the person next to you and say, there is good news? Because God the Father has provided a way and a remedy to this condition of fatherlessness. And if fatherlessness means the absence of a father, what do you think would be the first step for this remedy? To be reconciled to the God the Father. To be reconciled to God the Father through Jesus Christ, His Son. We get reconciled to God when we repent and when we turn away from our own independent and self-made ways of living. And we turn back to God, our Heavenly Father and our Creator. Second thing that we do is we choose to dwell on His Word. His Word that tells the truth about who God is. It tells us the truth about how God sees us. Why did He create us? What is His plan and His purpose for us and for the world around us? And we choose to follow His ways. Choose to build our lives upon His word of truth and to build our lives upon His love for us. And the more that we get to know God, our Heavenly Father, through the Word of God, and by allowing the Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us in God's loving plan and purpose for every area of our lives, then our hearts and our lives will be restored and will be grounded upon the steadfast love of God. God will heal and He will restore and establish our hearts by pouring out His love into our hearts, into our lives, through His Spirit, who is given to us and who lives within those who are His children. And consequently, then, we will be able to receive love. We will be able to give love, to be able to love others in the way that God the Father loves us. And we become more and more whole as a person in Christ Jesus. Now, as fathers, and I would say even as parents, we will more likely than not parent our children in the same way that we were parented when we were young. While we may have disagreed with the way that we were parented or treated as children, chances are we will tend to parent our own children in the same way or in a similar way that we were parented. This is because we can only give what we have been given. We cannot give what we do not have. I'll say that again. We can only give what we have been given, and we cannot give what we do not have. So therefore, if we desire to be godly parents, godly fathers to our children, to raise them up and establish them upon the foundation of God's pure and holy love, then we, fathers, parents, we need to take responsibility for parenting our children and to parent them as we are parented by our Heavenly Father. We are to love our children and to love them as how we are loved by our Heavenly Father. Just as how we have received a sense of identity, security, and stability, I would say even loving discipline from our Heavenly Father, our children too will be looking to us fathers, parents, to receive the assurance of a fatherly love. As we become more aware and more experienced with the way that God the Father parents us and loves us as children, our character, our parenting approach will gradually and progressively start to change. And we will likewise then parent our children more and more after the pattern that we have received from our Heavenly Father. I'll give you an example here. As a father, sometimes I do get upset. Sometimes my children say all the time, I get upset. And in that spur of the moment, I would react and I would say something and I'll burst out maybe in a fit of anger. And then after that, a few moments later, a few minutes later, quite often usually within the hour, God speaks to my heart and He says, "Aaron, why did you react that way?" And I said, "But God, you know, I got really angry, you know, and I got, you know, that was very upsetting, you know. Why did my child say that, you know? Why did my child do it that way?" And then God will remind me, "But Aaron, weren't you like that too? And how did He, God the Father, react to me?" So that was a point there for me. And that's how I give you as an example of how God speaks to us and how I have to tone myself down and be more patient as well. So we start to parent our children after the pattern that we receive from our Heavenly Father, the way that He parents us. And we know the way He parents His children through the Bible as well. Just read the Old Testament and see how patient God was in the Old Testament. Now, this is not to say that there's absolutely nothing good that we can ever learn or that we will ever learn from our earthly parents or earthly fathers. But our Heavenly Father will heal and He will restore all those areas of brokenness and disappointments and failures and shortcomings that we have experienced from our earthly fathers or earthly parents. And God will use the positive traits that we have picked up from our earthly parents in tandem with the experiences of restoration that we receive from our Heavenly Father collectively to bring about good for our children as we endeavor to raise them in the love and in the way of God our Father. We love because He, our Heavenly Father, first loved us sacrificially and unconditionally. Now, before I conclude my sharing for this morning, there are two exhortations that I would like to share with all of you, not only for fathers or for parents, but all of us here this morning. And the first exhortation is this: reach out to the fatherless. God the Father has purpose for the family, both the biological family and the spiritual family, which is the church, to be the expression of Himself to the children. The family, the church, is meant to be the place where children can experience, they can be nurtured, raised, restored, and established in the love of God our Father. And apart from reaching out the fatherless or the orphans in the physical sense of it, in our church, and I would say that in every church, there will always be a need for spiritual fathers and mothers. So for those of you who are older in the faith and you have experienced the love and the parenting of God the Father, when God brings someone in church here to your attention and you can see the challenges that this person is facing, perhaps the challenge of living in fear and with insecurity, then would you please reach out to that brother or that sister and be a spiritual father or mother to them? Would you allow God to work in you and through you to bring healing, restoration, and health to that brother or sister? Because this may be the very reason why God put you here in this church, why He has planted you here in this church, to be His hands, His feet, and His lips, to be that answer and to be that help to that brother and sister. When more spiritual fathers and mothers rise up to their role as spiritual parents, not only will the church grow in restoration and health, becoming vibrant and whole, but this is also how the kingdom of God advances in this world. The second exhortation is to receive the love of God the Father. If you are here today and you have not received or experienced the love of God the Father, perhaps you may have heard about the love of God, but you have not yet been reconciled to God the Father through Christ Jesus, His Son. Then I want you to know that you are here today not by coincidence, and it's not because of the Father's Day lunch per se. But God the Father has made a way for you to be here today to hear of His love. It is not by coincidence. And God wants to offer you this opportunity to receive His love. God is calling you to turn back to Him. Be reconciled to Him. Because God, the Heavenly Father, wants to be your Father. And He wants to restore you as His child. So, I want to encourage you not to miss this opportunity and to respond to God this morning and to receive the love of God the Father through Jesus, His Son. I want to invite you right now to just close your eyes. If this morning you want to be reconciled to God the Father, and to be able to receive His love, would you raise your hand so that I can lead you into a prayer of reconciliation? Okay. If you want to receive the love of God the Father, you want to be reconciled to God the Father, would you raise your hand and I'll pray with you? Come, would you repeat this prayer? You may put down your hands right now. Would you repeat this prayer after me before I pray for you? Would you say, Lord Jesus Christ, I confess that I have sinned and I choose from this day forth to turn away from all my sins. Please forgive me of all my sins. I believe that You are the Son of God and the only way to God, that You died on the cross for my sins, that You were buried and You rose again from the dead. I receive You, Jesus, as my Savior, and I confess You as my Lord. I thank You for what You did for me through Your atoning sacrifice. And by faith, I receive now Your gift of salvation, the forgiveness of sins. Please accept me now and make me Your child of God. Help me by Your Spirit to live in Your truth and in Your way of life. In Jesus' name I pray this. Amen. Now let me just pray for all of us, all right? Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you so much for those who have responded this morning. We thank you for your love towards us, your great and your awesome love. Lord, we know that while we were still so undeserving, you had already shown us your great love by sending and offering your only Son, Jesus, to become the atoning sacrifice for us. And even today, we are still so grateful for love, grateful to you for loving us. We are grateful, Lord, not because we know that it's not because we earn it or we deserve it, but simply because you do it for us because of your love for us. Help us this morning to grasp just how deep and how wide, how high and how great is your love towards us. Help us, Lord, to also love our family, our children, our brothers and our sisters in Christ, and those whom you put into our lives with your agape love, your sacrificial and unconditional love, so that they may know and experience your great fatherly love through us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we all stand right now, and shall we just respond to the Lord with